This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today is a very good friend. He is Harrison Blair of the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce, and there are a number of amazing spring events you've got coming up, as well as some news that I actually saw on your email newsletter. How are you doing, HB?
Man, Mr. Arnold, I'm doing well. It's always an honor to be on your show, sir. Thank you for inviting us and letting us tell our story.
As a matter of fact, I got you here. You're actually outside of City Hall. What are you doing outside of City Hall this morning?
So, Dr. Arnold, I serve on the Park and Recreation Board, and we meet every other Thursday by mandate of city charter. And we serve to make sure that all the public spaces that residents in the city of Dallas use have all the cleaning that they need. They have all the supplies, all the resources, and that each community has a walkable distance to a park that they can actually use in terms of all the green space and management that the city may need. So it's a fun job. It comes with a bunch of red tape because it's government dollars, mm-hmm. but it's something that we do in lieu of the public. So it's there are cameras in the boardroom that actually film so that the local public can actually be a part of the meetings here, even if they can't make it to City Hall. So every other Thursday, you can find us here in the Park Board Chamber, discussing all kinds of business around civics and government with regard to parks and recreation. So fun times.
That is fantastic. And it's also, people love the transparency, and you got the technology, so why not? And I love the fact that you're doing this right now because spring has sprung. The weather is nice again. I'm not saying it's going to stay that way because, you know, North Texas, jet stream comes through and we might have a tornado in the next couple of weeks. But still, I don't think it's going to be icy. I think we're in pretty good shape on that end. So thinking about these parks, is there anything that you know that they're going to bring up on the meeting that people might want to know about? That's like, hey, or I'm going to give you an example, and it may not come up at all, but I'm just thinking about this. I've been driving. I drive I-35 every day through Oak Cliff, and I see that there's some construction over there by the zoo. And a few years ago, you were telling me that this is going to be a somewhat of a version of Woodall Rogers, of Clyde Warren Park that they're working on out there. Do you know anything about that, or is that any of the agenda on the Park and Recreation or the Park Board?
And Dr. Arnold, this is actually perfect. That's actually my park district, District 4. And this particular park district and this project is called the Halperin Southern Gateway. Mm-hmm. And Halperin is the gentleman and his family who have actually sponsored this particular gateway. So it bears his name now as the Southern Access Point. And really, these parks that you see over these freeways are put there in an attempt to kind of be like a Band-Aid for a city that cut directly through communities with freeways
right.
and the freeway system in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. So these appendages now reattach some of these communities. And while it doesn't put those homes back, it does create another mode of transportation for people who are walking through what we want to be walkable communities with now these freeways cutting through. And it will take people on an experiential ride through the actual park all the way to the zoo, which should increase attendance at the zoo, should make it feel like a feature that connects the community to the zoo. And if you see that large purple tower that's going up,
yes.
That's an observatory deck that's going to be put in with a small elevator. So that's like a little elevator shaft that you're looking at up 35. So it's going to be a very cool park. And really, you're only seeing phase one that's being built out. Phase two is going to come in the next few years. But hopefully we'll be celebrating in the park at the end of next year.
That is fantastic. And again, it's all about, like you said, having some continuity with the different neighborhoods all over Dallas, you know, all over the North Texas area, that freeways have kind of intersected. It's like, okay, the only way you can get there is if you had to drive a car and go across a freeway, you know, on a street or a road. But at the same time, if you have a park, it's walkable. It's bicycle rideable. It's doable. It's runnable if you're an athlete or, you know, if you're an athlete or something. So I love that. And you know what I found out? Because over these years, a lot of people don't know, even with Clyde Warren Park is a nonprofit. People don't even know that.
Oh, well, yeah. And on top of that, they provide a lot of economic development to communities. Mm-hmm. Just think of all the revenue that these food trucks are able to generate.
Exactly.
Or these little community trucks.
Exactly.
And if you go out there regularly, you'll see the Visit Dallas truck, which is the truck that gives information about how you engage in Dallas. If you're a tourist or you're visiting, all the information and the sites you'd like to see, they get a lot of traction and they get a lot of engagement just from that one site. And that's because these parks are in such high traffic and density, high density areas, mm-hmm. that they're putting all these resources in space for the city of Dallas itself. So those are just some of the benefits of what these parks can do.
Well, I love it. And again, the Dallas Zoo is a destination point. And it's another reason why you want to go to Oak Cliff and that park right there. I cannot wait for stage one, stage two, all those developments. And again, I like talking to you because you are a source of information, a wealth of information. Again, HB, for those who don't know, the Dallas Black Chamber advocates the development and welfare of Black-owned businesses in North Texas, and you enhance business opportunities for members through referrals, partnerships, educational seminars, while focusing on the economic development, education, and tourism. And one of the things I really like what you do is you set up a lot of networking opportunities, because, again, there are so many businesses moving to North Texas, and in Dallas in particular, people need to know about the community or need to know where to go and what to do. And there's people who grew up here need to know about the different opportunities. And your website is just loaded with information. And again, having you on the show, you're verbally letting people know what's going on. So let's just go back a week or so. I think you had an opportunity for people to network just a week ago. What was the big event that the Dallas Black Chamber just hosted?
So, Mr. Arnold, we've been hosting a breakfast called the Power Breakfast for the last decade now.
Yes.
And I started it as a small event when I was a young board member at the chamber, and it's carried over into my tenure as president and CEO. And it's an early morning mixer from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. If you need to be back at the office and in your chair by 9 a.m., this is the mixer for you. These mixers are so important because people are eager to get up and talk about what they do, who they are, and what they need. And they're sharing in a room of other entrepreneurs and nonprofit leaders and community leaders, and they're able to network in a way that helps them relationship build. A lot of times people downplay relationship building and what it could mean, but you might be one relationship away from massive success.
Exactly.
Or one relationship short of opportunity. So all of these things become really important to us in these power breakfasts, and all these different leaders get up to share in about 30 seconds who they are, what they do, and what they're looking for. And it changes the game for them, and it changes the game for us. And so now we've even started to quantify the amount of economic development impact in terms of dollars. And one example is we had these two young Black women who met us at an event with the Dallas Black Chamber. One of them is the cosmetics in Frisco. She's doing about $10 million with this red lipstick. The other young lady is an SMU student. She's doing $250,000 with this face cream. That's a salve she sells overseas. They both wanted to be in the other's market. And so they came to the chamber at our event and said, hey, we need some help with mergers and acquisitions. We want to know what would be the best way for us to partner. By the end of 2025, they're going to make $45 million in revenue. And I'm just telling them, we hope you remember the little guy when you're making. Remember the chamber. But this is the power of relationship building.
Yes.
This is the power of community that it creates. So the Power Breakfast is something that happens now quarterly. We do them for special events. If people want to sponsor them, they've got a message they want to get out to community. And typically, coffee and breakfast is on us. We hosted at Soiree Coffee Bar, which is a huge partner of the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce. And we cut the ribbon for this business. And this, for me personally, this was one of the first businesses I got to cut a ribbon for. And we did it in the heart of the pandemic at a time we were still wearing gloves and masks. And we didn't know how this little coffee shop was going to survive. But not only are they surviving, they are thriving and they're serving not only the chamber members, but a bunch of other folks in the community. So if anybody's ever interested, you can find this information on our website. There's a community calendar that just keeps businesses and nonprofits up to speed on what we're doing and where we'll be.
And that's called networking. And with that being said, these relationships, like you said, that you might be one relationship away from massive success. The relationships that the Dallas Black Chamber have are just absolutely amazing, especially with the different programs that you have. One program in particular that caught my eye was the relationship you have, the partnership with Alpha's Depot, the Elevate Together initiative. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because that's about offering grants.
Yes, sir. So, Dr. Orr, let me start on a somber tone with that. This is one of the programs that have become this program has been destroyed by the executive order that came out by the Trump administration.
Oh,
and
no.
By that, Office Depot Corporation, because of the executive orders, is nervous to really be in that space. The $30,000 of grants could make them liable for millions of dollars and lawsuits just for trying to help black and brown businesses. Mm-hmm. But what the program was designed to do is it gave money to the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce to grant to businesses directly. Not only did we give them firm cash and hard money in hand to actually go and deal with whatever business concerns they may have, but it also gave them credits with Office Depot to get supplies and discounts that would actually outlive the grant itself. So it was a huge program. It helped at least 20 businesses at the chamber who were direct recipients of at least $5,000 in cash and $10,000 worth of supplies and incentives from Office Depot Corporation. And this was a partnership that we had gotten from the Greater Dallas Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. So really important partner for us. And I always give them a shout out because we wouldn't have even known to apply for the grant without their partnership. So I would say the Office Depot Corporation grant is something that we still kind of carry on in terms of programming. The chamber always gives out grants. We have a small budget, but we try to always keep at least $5,000 for any kind of economic disaster that a person may be facing and is an entrepreneur or nonprofit leader. But also, I try to just make sure that we have that money for any startups or any major businesses that really should have the funding they need and resources to take off here in a place where public-private partnerships are really just the regular, everyday part of business. So that's the big part of it. And the chamber is still carrying that work on. We have partners like Roland Parish and the Parish Charitable Foundation who will help me make grants to businesses all day, every day. If I call Mr. Parish and tell him that I have a chiropractic firm that needs $10,000 to get open, and I'm going to give them half of it, he'll say, "Brent Blair, that's no problem." He wrote a check for a young lady like that a few years ago. And now that chiropractor, Dr. London Peeler, is cracking necks and breaking backs, and she has a staff. And she's making it happen out in between several cities that serve a lot of large black populations. So that's the impact of what programs like that can do. And just another example of one of those businesses, Amber Jackson with Glitz Optical. Mm-hmm. She once got a $5,000 grant from us, and she makes these custom glasses that all come from the continent of Africa from their biggest eyeglass provider, all black designs. It took her 2 months to get you these custom glasses. But now with that $5,000 grant and her purchasing a lab, it now takes her 2 weeks to get those customized orders. And even further, she's opened a store in a physical location in the Joey B's off Wheatland and is planning to open a second physical location. So these are very small grants. But when you get them in the right location to the right person at the right time and they know how to use it, they can make huge impact. So this is the power of what a program like Office Depot got us started on. And even though, sadly, that program is going away, it's a victim of, you know, this administration, at least we have the programming and the plan of what we should be doing as a chamber to engage businesses in the number one issue that they have.
I like the way you think, because in all seriousness, a lot of things have been happening and they've had to correct it. There have been, you know, a rush to try to be efficient on certain things and a lot of programs that got caught up into it that they did not mean to affect. Some of them they did, some of them they didn't. And I think with every action, there's a reaction. And if you stay the course, I truly believe because what you're doing is doing it the right way, that it will be corrected and that there will be other people who step into the breach because you know what? They see the opportunity that maybe another company could not handle, but they can. And I love the fact that, you know, you just looked at this as, okay, we'll make an adjustment, not this is the end of the world.
Hey, Chris, you hit it on the head. The need is not going anywhere.
Right.
People will still need. They're still going to be looking for sources of funding. And anybody who's paying attention knows that this is kind of the Wild West, even around, you know, the executive orders that impact the banking institutions can do and CDFIs. And, you know, really what that means is that people have the right to make all kinds of, you know, bogus loans, and some of the protections that President Obama and his administration put in place are now they're out of compliance with what this new administration wants to do. Mm-hmm. So it means that we not only have this Wild West opportunity to make a lot of money, but now people have to have kind of moral compass because the government is not stepping in to do its regular job if we were making in that way.
Exactly.
So we have to be our own form of law and government and make sure that we are policing how we make these loans. Or if the chamber does decide to get into a small loan fund, which we can now have the capacity to do, to help businesses, that we, in fact, help them and we don't prey on them. And so this is something that we are also working toward with our partners, because now we know we are the thin line that stands between a business's success and opportunity in some respects and their access point.
I hear you. Does this all fall into your Dallas Accelerator program at all? Because how is that standing? Because I think that's a great opportunity, again, for leveraging educational resources.
So the accelerator program is now expanding. And what we're finding is that we have to have different types of accelerators. We were very general with our first and second cohorts, but now there are a bunch of new industries that are springing up. You have sports tech, which is a whole industry that, you know, Dallas has a ton of sports teams. Mm-hmm. And if we do right, we'll get to keep the one that we have in the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. So we're working hard on that. And I've got, you know, you can't see it, Chris, but I have my Mavericks gear on today.
There you go.
So I still rock with the team. Look, I know they gave up Luka, but please don't leave us. Don't leave Dallas.
I think they're going to stay.
And praise God for that. But, you know, sports tech is one of those kinds of tech hubs that's popping up for businesses to jump into. Mm-hmm. You have fintech, where people are trading and selling all kinds of resources. We had a company that worked with us in fintech. He sold to a company called Igo Payments, which is a publicly traded an old company. Mm-hmm. And I think he sold to them for something like $50 million.
Wow.
And all the profits that the company makes that he sold to them, he gets to keep, because they're a publicly traded company. They're not worried about the profits. So he's got a real sweetheart deal. And this all because he came and worked and networked himself through the chamber. He did the heavy lift. The chamber is like a gym.
Right.
You got to come in and work it and make it go. So these are just some of the opportunities that the chamber is kind of working through. And these are the different types of accelerators that we're jumping into, so that we can help businesses scale, grow, or exit as quickly as they'd like to.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Black Business Boot Camp?
Well, the Black Business Boot Camp is a program that is paid for by Comerica Bank, and it is meant for businesses who just want a little bit more education and they want to really learn how to grow their business and learn how to operate better. We host these events over at Comerica HQ, which is actually in South Dallas. It was put there to make sure that they had resources for small businesses and nonprofits in the community who wanted a place to do business, actually have coffee, and a safe place to really just transact and meet friends and opportunities. So this place is already kind of a gym for businesses and nonprofits to go work out. So we started doing programming there. Tiffany Rice and Brandon Q. Jones are the bankers who lead this piece of the operation, and they make sure that chambers of commerce like us have access to the space, and that we can do programming in partnership with them to serve businesses. And last year, in 3 months, we served 400 businesses through that program. And these businesses are not just getting education, they're also getting a connection directly with the bank. Mm-hmm. They find out who the bank likes to fund and what they need to do and how they start that relationship. Because I think there are so many hairy kind of issues with Black businesses walking into a bank. And there's all these perceptions that people are fighting against, including the banks. So we do a lot of that work to break those perceptive walls down and get businesses ready to go in and do capital, do good capitalism in a capitalist state.
You know, I love all the different projects that the Dallas Black Chamber is involved with. Can you tell us a little bit about the hub on Martin Luther King Boulevard, the hub on MLK?
Yes, sir. So the chamber is working now at a state level and in a local capacity to create a business district.
Uh-huh.
Right now, you can go over the city of Dallas and you can find Little Mexico. You can find Koreatown in policy at a state level. But there's nothing that demarks where Black people are in the city of Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
We just know what communities and neighborhoods they're in, because those are the ones that have been redlined, where people have been pushed to. But now we want to change the perception of what people think of these black districts. They're actually great catalysts for economic development.
Mm-hmm.
They're close to downtown. They're urban in nature, and they have all these great features about them. They have mid-century modern home stock and all kinds of assets that people might not consider. And this is critically important when you start thinking about attracting a grocery store.
Right.
You start thinking about these big box brands that want to go places. They're looking at data to determine where they're going to go. And so there are all these great rooftops that go all the way from Cedar Crest Golf Course, which is the only historic golf course in the city of Dallas, all the way up to the historic Fair Park, which is the largest collection of Art Deco buildings anywhere mm-hmm. in the world at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this economic development activity, and then you got the Forest Theater that's about to go vertical, and they're doing construction right now. St. Phillips has done the other half of MLK just before you get across the land bridge in Oak Cliff. But there's no project in the middle of MLK that has gone vertical. And there are a lot of land developers and landholders who are waiting there anxiously for somebody to kick off and go vertical right there in the middle so that economic development can spread both directions down MLK. And the chamber wants to do that. We have the corner of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, 2727 MLK and Malcolm X. And that's where the chamber would like to go vertical with a building that not only welcomes national businesses and businesses here in Dallas, but international businesses. I want black businesses to come from anywhere in the world and feel like they're at home when they walk into our business district. So that's something that we're working toward on MLK Boulevard. I want to make it the nicest MLK Boulevard in the nation. And then we want to go across the nation and fix the rest of them.
I love the way you think. And again, it's I'm grinning over here because Dallas has so many quote unquote districts. They got the arts district. They got the design district. They've got every kind of district. And I'm like, wait a minute. There you go. Right there on Martin Luther King Boulevard. The Black Business District. It just sounds right. It sounds like that's where people need to know where it is. It's like it says, an identifier. And I love the way your concept is going. With all that being said, you've got so many different projects going on year round. The month of April, I was checking out your newsletter, as I mentioned earlier in the show, and the month of April has been designated as a month to be aware of stress and things like that. You kind of touched on that a little bit on your newsletter. Can you share a little bit some of your thoughts about stress? And because May, of course, is Mental Health Awareness Month, but there's a level of stress that's going on that people just need to come to terms with it.
Your typical business owner or nonprofit leader is already stressed to the max.
Yes.
Not only do they have all the stressors of life or any regular job that may provide any kind of gray hairs to you in your life or hurt your back or your knees or any of those things, but they also have to worry about paying people. They have to worry about a big mission getting accomplished. And if you're a nonprofit leader, you have the added burden of being very politically engaged, where you might find business owners have to call their consultant to figure out what's going on Capitol Hill.
Right. Seminar.
But you know, if you're a nonprofit leader, you don't have that budget. You are the consultant. You are the lobbyist. You are the person that's advocating for your cause. So you have to be much more politically engaged. So that leads to a new level of need for stress management. And a lot of times we talk about the need for vacations. I can't tell you how many business owners and nonprofit leaders I talk to who feel like they can't take a vacation and what that's doing to them and how it's aging them much more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to folks about, you know, little stress reducers that they can bring to work, making sure they're doing things like helping people be involved and engaged in their communities.
Mm-hmm.
When people are engaged and informed about what's happening in their communities, and then their time is not sucked away by a corporation that wants to own them, didn't want them to wash clothes or buy groceries or afford eggs that are way more than $2 at this point. There are just a lot of opportunities for a company to turn the temperature down for employees to be able to get their bearings about them. And then, of course, you have the big corporations who are mostly concerned about their profits and their revenues over the people that they serve. And so even the incentive and this idea of working from home that is being ripped away from employees while corporate executives are flying around and never coming into the office, those are things to be questioned. And those are things that, you know, owners of companies and nonprofits should really be thinking about. How can they create a holistic community for the workforce that they're working with? And what are some practices that they can bring in that are healthy, not only for the workforce, but for them? Because usually what's healthy for the business owner is also probably an incentive that's really healthy for the staff. So lots of programming that we're going to start rolling out. And Chris, I'm really careful to not try to sound like the expert, because I'm one of these folks who's also going to therapy, talking to therapists with my family, you know, mm-hmm. making sure that we're in counseling so that nothing's wrong. But right. It's always good to just stay checked up.
Exactly.
Stay prayed up.
Exactly.
You know, I take my time, you know, spiritually in church. You know, I go to Concord and let Pastor Carter put some word on it, throw some word to the top of the balcony so I can get my word.
Yes, sir.
But there are a lot of ways that I'm working to just stay healthy. But it's something that we wanted to start rolling out at the chamber as an initiative, because how can you be making great revenues and making big impact if everybody's sick?
Exactly. It's all about balance. If you create that balance in your life, not only are you happier, you can be more productive, and you actually have a greater perspective on everything. In other words, you're not consumed with one particular thing, whether it's a project, whether it's what's going on in your office, whether it's the bills that got to be paid. You're able to balance it all out and have some perspective, and that makes it easier to handle what's in front of you. And I think what you said best was, if you're with a lot of different people, in other words, if you figure out ways to network, or you figure out ways to work with people and maybe have some empathy and help them with their lives, it actually gives you some solace and give you perspective on what your life is all about.
Man, and Chris, look, you got to be careful too, because, you know, President Obama may have heard, I don't know if he listened to the show, but he might hear this and say, hey, you know, he just made comments on another show about balance. And he said, I don't want to be around people who are looking for balance. So he said, if they're looking for balance, that means they're not good in anything. They're just average. I said, oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't want to be on that podcast with the president, because I'm going to have to argue with him.
Well, like I said, in these times, and again, we're not being political at all, in these times, it's just about trying to find balance and a way to feel good about yourself in your community as we all engage with each other. And these are just the little things that help, and especially in the nonprofit or the small business world, because I always consider them the real courageous people, because they're risking it all for their dream, whether it's a nonprofit dream or whether it's a small business dream. They don't have the insulation of a major corporation that can cover for them. And especially if you're a nonprofit or a small business that depends on the partnerships of, if not government, if it's other major corporations that can help you make your ends meet, or the things are changing a little bit because they don't know where they stand right now. So I think your email about stress is very important right now.
Oh, man. And let me say that's just the beginning. This is just kind of sticking our toe into the water, understanding what members have told us they need and what community folks have told us they want to hear more of. And just making sure that we take care of each other as a community is so important. And I tell people, the chamber, if nothing else, is a community. It may be a community of business owners and nonprofit leaders and community leaders, but it is a community. And that community spans throughout Dallas, and it feels all the impacts of what hits our communities in general. So I'm glad that we can start being a part of the solution. And I'm thankful that leaders like you are actually reading the newsletter. That means we're making some impact out here.
Most definitely. And I highly recommend people go to the website as well. You have one of the most fantastic websites. Just like I said, people are on websites nowadays like they're on Amazon. They go do their shopping online. They're able to choose and decide what they're going to do online. In fact, it's a curse and a blessing, because you wind up doing that and you don't get out and about like you used to. And like, people need to balance that as well. But I highly recommend that you go to the chamber's website so that you can see the things that are being done. And it actually can put a smile on your face and say, you know what? Here's where I can offer a solution, or here's where they can help me, or this is what it's all about. I don't feel isolated anymore.
Oh, man. And Chris, let me also say, if people want to get active and get in space with us and do some advocacy work, we have been in Austin over the last week, one day each week. And then, of course, we just got back from Austin for Black Business Day at the Capitol yesterday. Mm-hmm. But a lot of what we are focused on now is trying to stop policies that we know are going to harm Black businesses and Black residents across the state, and really small businesses, because a lot of the cuts that are happening now in policy, or cuts that are attempted, are really going to harm businesses. So I'm offering partners and business owners, nonprofit leaders from across the state, to come down with us. And I'm specifically asking that we oppose legislation that's being proposed in the House. Right now, House Bill 167 by Representative Carl Tepper is a bill that's basically saying that the state and governments under the state, so all municipalities, can no longer look at race when they start to give out government contracting. And so that's going to impact a lot of business owners who have been getting these contracts with their MWBE certifications. And it's going to invalidate the certifications that they spent all this money trying to actually earn and bring into the fold. So that's one big issue with the piece of legislation that's going to harm businesses. House Bill 3573 by Representative Don McLaughlin just cuts the HUB program completely. And for people who don't know, HUB stands for historically underutilized businesses. It's not about being black. It's about being a minority-owned business in the way that the state would consider you a minority. And this includes veterans and women-owned businesses. But 90% of the HUB program goes to small businesses who are not black, who are not Hispanic or Latinx, who are not Asian. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the state representatives always know this, because when you walk into their offices, you talk to them and their staffs, they have to be reminded sometimes what's in their bill. They are all powerful, but they are not necessarily always in the know about what bill has been filed or what a colleague has said or done. That sometimes we're tracking it and keeping up to date with it more than them. Exactly. And this is known as the anti-HUB bill. And then finally, House Bill 4784 is a real problem, and that's by Brian Harrison. This bill really deals with DEI. You can't even mention it in contracts. You can't mention it in curriculum with state schools. You can't mention it in private business dealings or anything that involves the state. And that's problematic when you are coming to Austin to advocate and you want to talk about the issues that you are facing because of who you are, but you can't address who you are. So
well, you know
just these are.
I was going to say, we appreciate your advocacy. And the thing about it is, it's just making people aware of what they're doing or what they're disrupting, because they don't always know. And that's why, you know, it's important for people to know all the details, because sometimes, you know, it gets blurred and there's always a reaction when something happens, you know, haphazardly. Like, no one wants Jackie Robinson's records erased from his military service. No, those things, like, wait a minute, they didn't pay attention to that part. There's so many different things that are happening so quickly based on just pure algorithms, or just based on the fact that technology wise you can do this, as opposed to doing a deeper dive and seeing how this might affect a medical situation that has nothing to do with anything that you think you're doing. So it's all important that we all talk. It's all important that people calmly break down all the different things that could be affected, and then you don't have to make those corrections. It's like, wait a minute, before you decide to chop this, be aware of what it leads to.
Exactly. And Chris, we'll be back down there this coming Tuesday. We typically take the 6 a.m. flight out. We get to Austin. We touch down and we get to the Capitol. We start hitting these offices of the committees that these elected officials are on where this legislation has been referred. And we go directly to the bill writers. Whichever politician has written this bill, we go firstly to seek to understand, and then we seek to be understood. And I always invite business owners from across the state to come down and be a part of the solution. Come exactly. Let them know what you think. Let your voice be heard. It makes much more impact than when I'm saying it alone.
Exactly.
So we'll be down there this coming Tuesday. If businesses and nonprofits want to come down and speak directly to representatives and to meet your own representatives and talk about issues locally that may be impacting you, let me take you through the Capitol. We know the way. We'd love to host you.
Well, I know you've got a Parks and Recreation board meeting to go to. He is Harrison Blair of the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce. The chamber's website is?
BBCC.org. We'd love to have you join us, too.
Fantastic.
Be a member.
Thanks a lot, Harrison. Appreciate you again, as usual.
Hey, Dr. Chris Arnold, it is an honor and a privilege to be on your show. Thank you for letting us tell our story, and thank you for investing in a young leader like me.
And joining us right now is the Executive Director of Workforce Dallas, Mr. Michael Thompson. Michael, how you doing?
Chris, I'm doing great. Another day to impact lives is all I can ask for. So thank you so much for having me today.
We're so glad you're being a part of the show again. I haven't talked to you in over a year or two. And I think the last time we talked, you were hitting the ground running, because Workforce Dallas has been a really holistic, hands-on approach to workforce development. And that's all about creating opportunities for low-wage workers to get higher-paying job opportunities. How have things been going since the last time we talked to you?
Yes, sir. Everything has been going excellent. Truly, truly changing lives every single day. As you said, it's been a year ago since we've talked. In that year's time, we've impacted probably over 2,000 people in our community with top upskill opportunities and trajectory changing careers. So we're so excited, and we can't wait for all the great things that's coming up, actually this month and the rest of the year.
You know what I love about what you do is it's creating opportunities where sometimes people feel like there are no opportunities. Can you kind of give an example about how you guys actually do what you do?
Yes, absolutely. So Workforce Dallas basically is Mayor Eric Johnson's initiative to truly impact our community with top upskill opportunities, trajectory changing employment, and hands-on workforce development. And the reason that we could do this because it's so needed in our community. Like you said, Chris, there's so many people that just think there's no opportunities out there. And I love to be able to just educate and talk to every single person I come across to let them know about the game-changing opportunities we have. So we have over 300 employer partners in the city of Dallas, well, in Dallas County alone. And these partners, they're looking for top employment as well as just high functional individuals. So any person that talks to us and just, questioning themselves of, can I do it? You can do it. Any person that's listening to us, we have so many trainings, free certifications in all industries. And all you have to do is reach out to us and we'll make it happen. Again, any industry, if you have just some type of want to do it, we can make it happen.
And you got to have just that initiative. And that's what it, sometimes people know. They wonder, like, I don't know. I would really like to do X, but I'm not sure. It's not even about being qualified. I can put in, I'm not afraid of work. I love to work. I just don't know if, I don't know how to contact that individual, that organization. Is that part of what you do, is like a connection process as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll walk through sort of the Workforce Dallas method, and we'll just go from there. So,
Yeah, take your time.
yeah, absolutely. So basically, we're all in the community. So we started off with building foundation partnerships with the top nonprofits in the city of Dallas, from Fort Oak Cliff, the Jubilee Center, and so on. So these nonprofits already have the trust of so many people in their communities. So we came in to these nonprofits and really just set up shop there. Any person that came in, we talked to them, told them about the opportunities. We would even go door to door in these communities just to let them know about so many things that's going on. And then since we've grown since then, we have so many hiring mixers that we talked about before. We have partnerships with the TD Jakes Foundation, UNT Dallas, Radio One, and so on. So we have over 2,000 to 3,000 people come to these events. But if you cannot make it to these events, we still have a process where all you have to do is go to workforcedallas.org. We have a small registration with about five questions. These questions is just to really let us know what you're looking for. And then after that, we have navigators that will reach out to them in under 24 hours because we want to make sure that once you do that registration, we want to reach out to you as soon as possible so no one can interfere with that. Our navigators will give them a call and just have a regular conversation. In that conversation, we have no conversation about employment. It's just really to get to know them. Who's at their home, what have they done in the industries that they have been successful in, and so on. And then probably in about a week's time, we get them direct contact with people that make decisions with these companies, as far as HR managers, recruiting managers, sometimes even CEOs of the company. Because we've learned that in today's time, yeah, resumes are great, but to have an opportunity to talk to directly to a person that make decisions is everything. And
Exactly.
employers are looking for people that have the drive and the dedication. Experience is great, but when you come with that drive and dedication, it separates you from a lot of people.
It really does. And again, it's an opportunity for you to showcase yourself. And we're not even just talking about your skill level. It's the fact that you are driven, that you can be counted upon, and that you appreciate the opportunity. Because sometimes you might have, there are some people who have college degrees. Well, they're not necessarily the best employee fit for a certain organization because it just doesn't work. It's not going to work out. They're not driven. Whatever the reason is, just that they're not driven. Where there are others who may have a high school diploma or GED, and they really have a, they're motivated. And people can't see that on a piece of paper, right?
Absolutely. You said it perfectly, Chris. So we're all about inclusiveness. We want to, Workforce Dallas has been successful because we impact everyone. So our opportunities are, if you're seasoned, you have your master's degrees, your doctorate, PhD, we have opportunities for you. but also all the way down. We have entry level roles. We have roles for veterans. We have roles for senior citizens. But I also want to make this very known. We have roles for justice impacted individuals. So if you're listening to my voice right now and you're questioning yourself because you've had, you know, issues.
Yeah, with some priors. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Please do not let that deter you from knowing that you can accomplish great things. Like you said, Chris, it's so many employers right now. They want to identify individuals that have been justice impacted because they know they have that chip on their shoulder and they're ready to show individuals that they're going to work hard and they're not going to go back to what they've done in the past. So I want to make that clear. Please, if you're listening to our voice, please reach out to us. If you are justice impacted, or if you're a veteran, or if you're a young person that's looking to get into the workforce for the first time, you're coming home from college, any person, now is the time to truly go after what you want to do with your career because the employers are looking.
Yes, they are. Let's talk about veterans in particular, because there's a lot of, you know, people, once they get out of the service, they're like, okay, what I really want to do is X, Y, Z, and they don't know where to turn. Explain what Workforce Dallas can do for them if you're a veteran.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great question. So we have so many third party partners that identify veterans as soon as they register with us because they want a person with that drive and that determination.
And the discipline. And the discipline, because veterans are very disciplined. They're used to structure.
Absolutely. The structure factor is very beneficial for them. So, I mean, top employers like Parkland Hospital, FedEx, AutoZone, you name it. We have veteran programs with them where they will come in and they will teach them a skill set, not only for one position, but a majority of the position and the roles that they have. When they, it could be from 6 to 9 weeks. In that time, they learn everything about that organization so they can do a multiple roles from, you know, if they can start off in the entry level, or they can grow all the way to management. I'll tell a quick story. We had an individual last year. I mean, he was a sergeant in the Air Force. And he came home. I mean, it was just no opportunities for them, for him. And he came to us. Same, like you said, Chris, the drive, the determination. Everything was just oozing off of him. But you can tell that he just he didn't have opportunities. So we put him in a program with Parkland Hospital. It was a role of a coordinator role. And this was a person that had to get there at 5 a.m. in the morning and be there all the way to 5 p.m. But really just learning the factor of Parkland. If you know Parkland, people, it's not just a hospital. It's really a whole community.
It is a community.
Yeah, they have over 500 positions right now. He learned that role in 3 weeks.
Wow.
He started, I think he started in October of last year. Now he's already a supervisor for Parkland. So it just shows you our ability to not only build relationships with these organizations, but also give opportunities to people that need them. And once you get them, you can just show what you can do.
Speaking of showing what you can do, and we're talking with Michael Thompson with Workforce Dallas. Michael, you mentioned seniors. Sometimes people retire and they're like, oh, wait a minute. I'm not really wanting to be retiring. I got too much energy, or there's things I really want to do, or maybe I want to make some more side money. So can you talk about the opportunities for seniors? Because sometimes seniors are like, man, I don't know what I can do, but there's something I can do. And it's not that I can't get around. I can get around. I just don't have anywhere to go.
Absolutely. Workforce Dallas is inclusive to everyone.
Yes.
So many seniors, when they retire, you know, they're so committed to work for so long.
Yeah.
They don't know how to just sit still.
Right. They think they're going to be all right for about a month, and all of a sudden they get bored.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We've had so many, and I want to talk to them as well. There's so many opportunities out there for you. I don't want you to think you have to do manual work, or even if you want to sit behind a desk, we have roles with top companies where you can get out and do what you want to do. They're looking for you because you have the experience.
Yeah.
And they know they can take that experience and really mold it to whatever you want to do. So if they're listening to me again, we have great opportunities for them. It's so many roles with top companies from the hospitality industry, the mechanical industry, so many roles, because you have the experience. And we can mold whatever you're looking for. Like I said, if you're looking, if you want to move around a lot, we have that. But if you're looking, you know, for just to meet people or just to build a foundation of where you can get up every single day and do something, we have that as well.
You know what? It's so funny you mentioned that, because a lot of seniors, that, like you said, they're used to being around people, or they don't want to be isolated. They want to be out and about. And then there's another segment of the population. They actually want flexibility. Let's go to Gen Z for a little bit. They want flexibility. They don't necessarily want to be in an office or work at a job or a labor situation 5 days a week. They'd like a little bit more flexibility. Can you talk about how Workforce Dallas has adjusted through the pandemic of having opportunities for people who don't want that 5 days a week job, but they're very skilled at what they can do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You said it yourself, Chris. We're in a role right now where so many people want to identify being an entrepreneur, right? And that's outstanding. I think everyone should own their own in something. But Workforce Dallas is here to support them, because you need income to support whatever business that you want to start.
Hey, slow down. Slow down, Michael, because you just said something. People need to listen to this, especially if you're Gen Z. You may have that dream entrepreneurial situation you want to get to, but in the meantime, go ahead, Mike.
Absolutely. You have to have that income to really support your dream, right?
Yes.
Everyone needs that. And Workforce Dallas understands that. But not just us, our organizations and our companies understand that. They have turned the corner. With it being 2025, they understand that if we want top employees, we have to do something to support their dream and their focus. So many of them, we have a program called Each One, Teach One. And in these companies, what they do is, once you join their company in any role, for the first 30 to 60 days, if from then on that point, you're put inside of this program, where every single week they have entrepreneurial support industry classes and training.
Wow.
Free of charge.
Wow.
Now they're showing that, hey, not only are we going to teach you how to become your own boss, your own executive, but at the same time, we're going to teach you the things that made us successful. These are Fortune 500 companies. We're going to teach you the things that made us successful, so you not only can gain income, You can benefit from the things that we've learned to be more successful.
You know what, Michael? Let's go ahead and put it in Gen Z terms. Workforce Dallas creates access.
Absolutely.
And that's what I think a lot of people don't look at it like, because on the outside, they're like, well, Workforce Dallas, it sounds like I'm going to be laying bricks and help building construction, or absolutely, I'm just going to be working at the lowest level. No, you've got access to Fortune 500 companies. You've got access to all types of occupations. And when we say workforce, that just means you're part of the workforce. But the occupation could be anything, especially in this day and age of technology, or however people, you know, are able to make ends meet. And again, there are some people who, like you said, they have a big dream and they're like, okay, in the meantime, I'll just drive Uber, or there's more. You could do more than that. And you can still have your dream, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And anyone that's doing Uber right now or doing any type of Lyft, you know, side gig.
Yeah.
That's if you want to do that, that's great. But with Workforce Dallas, you said it yourself, Chris, the access is there. And we do upscale. This is the reason we've been successful.
Mm-hmm.
We pride ourselves in upscale opportunities. Upscale means these are careers, starts off
right
with 60K and up. Like, these are careers that want to build momentum with true careers. That's that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason where so many people are coming to us, because during the pandemic, a lot of people had these roles. And from the pandemic, with so many companies losing a lot of money, some of these roles have gone away. But now, with the boom in so many companies moving to Texas, corporate office moving to Texas,
yes,
we have the access to them, and now they need outstanding workers. And that's the reason now is the time to rebuild that.
Exactly. Again, it's all about recognizing the opportunity. That's all it is. And that's why I was saying you're sleeping on it if you're not recognizing that Workforce Dallas is they have access. They have access to a variety of occupations, of employment opportunities where you might be able to do what you want to do. It may be long term. It may be this is going to help me set aside some money for my dream that I really want to get into. But guess what's going to happen along the way? You're going to meet people. You're going to be meeting people who can recommend you that you can put them on your resume. And it's all through working with Workforce Dallas. Am I wrong about this, Michael?
Absolutely right, Chris. Networking is the key to success.
Yep.
I've said this so many times. And why not network with an organization that you're going to work for that's already a Forbes top industry, Forbes top company? So I just think it's a great opportunity for so many. And again, the access to our hiring events where over 40 to 50 top companies are right in front of you with hiring managers, recruiting managers, it's just a great thing to come to. And again, I'm definitely at all of them. We've had so many people, like you said, Chris, they just come in with doubt because they've been
they just don't know
things, and
yeah,
that's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like, again, it's okay to have that.
Exactly.
But just give it an opportunity.
Exactly.
Because I guarantee you, I've had so many people to come out and I told them, I will introduce you to the employers myself. And they leave with opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I just say give it a chance because we've helped so many people.
Speaking of so many people that you help, I know you have situations where you may have a potential person who would like an opportunity, but unfortunately, she's got kids and she needs a babysitter or she's trying to figure out how to juggle it. I know you've had those situations come up where, you know, the young lady might be very talented, but she has kids as well. And she's trying to figure out what's the perfect situation for her.
Great point, Chris. Great point. So the Workforce Dallas model is not just about careers. It's workforce development. All day, every day, because we understand it's so many things that come with it. So, yes, we do provide trajectory changing careers, but also we provide barrier busters. And when I say that the top barriers right now, like you said, Chris, childcare, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Language barriers, that's a big one. And of course, we talked about the last one, justice impacted. We provide barriers help for all of those. So, we have childcare assistance with anyone that approaches Workforce Dallas. So you can work. We have childcare assistance that's available. Sometimes it's free of charge.
Oh, look out.
Because we know it's very expensive.
You stop being a solution for people. You just stop being a solution for people. You're helping out too many. I'm just playing. This is really good news for people who are listening because they're like, wow, this is probably going to change some lives. Just this conversation alone. So go ahead. You were saying sometimes you have free childcare help.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we understand it's needed. It's so needed. And
in this day and age,
understand
yeah.
it as well. So a lot of them have in-house childcare inside of their buildings. But if not, yeah, we do provide that for anyone that needs it for Workforce Dallas. And again, like I said before, childcare, transportation is big. We provide that also. And the last one, excuse me, just the language barriers. Every single event that we have, we have people translating there on the spot. So if you don't speak great English, if you don't speak great Spanish, if we also have so many things that can help you in that way as well.
This is what's outstanding. Again, what you have here are opportunities and you have access where people can help their own situation, not just financially, but they can also make their dreams come true. But they can also, it depends on the individual who's listening. Because again, I think people are slowly realizing that since the pandemic, the economy, especially in the state of Texas, is employee driven. It's not
Absolutely.
Like the employer controls everything. It's like they need staff and they have to be flexible to work with all kinds of people because there's just not enough quality of employees to go around. And they're like, you know what? We're going to make it work. We're going to make it work. We're going to make your lifestyle fit what we do. And you guys, Workforce Dallas, appear to be the connector.
Absolutely. I'll tell everyone that has this discussion with me. 5 years ago, yeah, it was employer driven, but now it has changed completely.
Yes.
It is definitely employee driven. Now is the time to go after the roles that we have today. They were not available 5 years ago because the people in those roles knew that and they were not going anywhere. But now employers need great workers so much. They will listen to your needs. They will see what can we, because they know another company is doing the same thing.
Thank you.
And if they want them, they're going to talk in any capacity what you need.
Is some of what you're offering computer related, tech related? Because there are people in that same situation that they just happen don't have a job right now. They're like, okay. Because again, sometimes people kind of pigeonhole things like, well, you know, I don't necessarily want to work at a body shop. Well, wait a minute. You have more than just, you know, quote unquote, traditional labor jobs, right?
Absolutely. We have all industries. And if you're a person looking to work remote, we have those opportunities as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about the person. So when, again, about our conversation with the navigators, once we do reach out to them, all that is covered in that conversation. Remote opportunities, or if you want to come in, or if you've been a supervisor before, these are things that we want to know, because if not, we won't even bring your way anything that doesn't go with what you're looking for. So it's identified with that individual only.
You know what's wild? Again, my mind is just whirling because, you know, I've talked to so many different groups and so many organizations and nonprofits over the years with this show, and even people who have certain handicaps, even people, you know, were working from home because maybe they're wheelchair impaired or maybe they have a vision issues. You know, there are opportunities for them as well, right?
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, Chris. So we support those with disabilities as well.
That's right.
Back to the word inclusive. Every person has a special skill that an employer is looking for. Everyone. So we do support those with disabilities. Again, once we have that conversation and really learn more about the person, then we can identify the perfect opportunity for them.
And what about somebody who wants to work for Workforce Dallas? Is there any opportunities for volunteers or people who feel like their skill set is placing people, like they might have may have worked at a job employment opportunity back in the day?
Absolutely. I think that's the biggest question I get all the time.
Can I work for you? Yeah.
Yeah. To me. But I want to work with you.
Exactly.
I definitely take it as a compliment because it showed that we're doing such a great job. Currently, right now, we don't have any roles with Workforce Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we have so many volunteer opportunities. And I'll just dive into our upcoming event with Radio One and UNT Dallas. So it's our annual impact fair. Last 2 years, I think we had over 2,000 plus come out. It's just really, I would say, an opportunity for so many lives to be changed.
Yeah.
That day is going to be at the UNT Dallas campus. Free parking to everyone. 1 year, we're giving out free laptops. This year, Dress for Success will be on hand to provide free attire, work interview attire for those that needs it. We will have so many barrier opportunities to go, you know, to help with any type of barriers that you have. We'll have an AI user support class with so many AI opportunities coming up with so many companies. This is a free opportunity for you to learn so much about AI and how to use it. We'll have job interview skills trainings. We'll have professional resume writing on hand. Again, Dress for Success, like I said before. And we also have a mental health support professional on hand as well.
And what's the date?
It's going to be April 26th.
Nice.
Let me check on that. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be Thursday, April 24th, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at UNT Dallas. Again, it's going to be 50 employers there. all of them looking to hire on the spot. People that make decisions will be there with them. So recruiting manager, HR managers. It's just going to be such an impactful day. And we can't wait for so many people to come out.
Most definitely. And what's the website again for more information, Workforce Dallas?
Yes, sir. It's going to be workforcedallas.org.
And that's what it's all about. That's why I love organizations like Workforce Dallas. It's all about access to opportunities. And, you know, with education and training, it raises productivity, creativity, and innovation. And that leads to greater output, economic growth, and a strong, stable economy. And that's what we all want. That's what we all want in North Texas. That's what we all want in DFW. And that's what we want in our communities. And that's why I want to thank you all for listening to Better Living, a show about people or organizations that have a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. With that, so long, everybody.